You're listening to the Film 45 Podcast. In this episode, we speak with Brittany West, whose film Tired Moonlight has its world premiere tomorrow, Friday afternoon at Slam Dance at the Treasure Mountain Inn in Park City. I'm Rick Vacious, and I am, as always, with
Jeremy Wilker, and we are coming to you live from Sundance and Slam Dance 2015.
You're listening to Film 45.
All right, and we're coming to you live from Park City, Utah. As Rick mentioned in the intro, we are talking with filmmaker, writer, director Brittany West about her film Tired Moonlight, which premieres tomorrow. And we just got in, well, Brittany and Rick and a bunch of other people got in last night. I just got in today. But, you know, it's beautiful weather out here. We're acclimating. We're getting our tickets for the shows starting tonight. And, yeah, it's exciting. Exciting to be back once again. Rick, do you have anything you are particularly eager to see before we get into the interview?
Yeah, I mean, tonight's one of the opening night features at Sundance, the Summer of Songaila. For me, it was instantly one of the things that I wanted to see. It looks really amazing. I have high hopes for it, and hopefully we'll be able to talk about it later on this week.
Yeah, and I'm eager to see a documentary called The Wolf Pack. The description of it just it doesn't seem plausible. It's about six brothers who grow up in New York City without any access to the outside world, and they're like teenagers, and all they know about the outside world is from movies they watch. I just don't know, like, how do you have six teenagers, you know, isolated away in the middle of New York City? It baffles me, but I'm very eager to see how that one turns out.
Well, it should be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of great stuff and talking about lots of things and hopefully interviewing some more filmmakers.
Yeah, we do have a couple more people lined up, and you know, hopefully we'll just run into some old acquaintances while we're here, and we can grab them for a quick interview. As I mentioned in the first episode, we just do this mobily with iPhones and iPads with a microphone interface. So this is unedited. It's raw, and we're posting thanks to, you know, a little bit of Wi-Fi here and there. So whatever happens this week is what happens, and I hope you enjoy the show. And let's go talk with Brittany West. All right, we're here at Sundance and Slam Dance 2015, and with us now is Brittany West.
Hi.
Now, Brittany, you—it's Thursday. We all just got into town, and you premiere your film tomorrow. Is that correct?
Yep, tomorrow at 3:30 at the Treasure Mountain Inn.
Okay, so you are part of the official Slam Dance selection, and this is your first feature film.
Yep.
How did the story come about? Where did this story start? And it's called Tired Moonlight.
Yeah, I grew up in a small town in Montana, and I have always wanted to go back and make a film there, so I decided to make it this one.
And you've got a lot of time and energy into this film, and we talked a little bit casually last night, and you said that this project started for you in about, what was it, 2007? Is that right?
Ooh, it started... Let's see, 3 years ago, I went to Montana, 3 summers ago. So I think it was four years ago I got the grant. And then 3 summers ago, I started shooting it.
All right, since you mentioned grant, you were the recipient of two local grants. Which ones were they?
I got the Jerome Foundation Emerging Filmmaker Grant, and I also got a Minnesota State Arts Board grant for the post-production of my film.
Tell us about the Jerome Grant. What does it mean? What does it mean to be a recipient of a Jerome Grant? Are there strings attached to that one? I mean, you have to like produce something within a certain time frame, or is it just a grant to a working artist? Or how does the actual grant work for an independent filmmaker?
You apply with a script or a bit of a script, and you know, a lot of outlines and budgets and all that kind of thing. And then once you get the grant, you're required to produce whatever you applied with. So you can't just make something else. You have to make the project that you applied with. But there's no cutoff date. You have to start within a certain amount of time, but you have 3 years to finish it after you get the grant, apparently.
All right, awesome. That's great that you were able to take advantage of those grants locally and create something that's now premiering. You said you were raised and grew up in Montana. Tell us about your journey to Minnesota, and how long have you been here, and what have you been doing in the last few years besides Tired Moonlight?
I moved to Minnesota for college right after I graduated high school, and I lived there. It's been 8 years now, I think. I work in the film industry as much as possible, and I also work at restaurants and work on my own stuff. So it's been a little bit of everything. But yeah, I work on films and music videos and produce stuff. And I also work on my boyfriend Steven Gurwitz's films. My DP Adam Ginsberg and him are old childhood friends, so we all make films together and work on other people's stuff.
All right, I was going to ask you about that, because I noticed Steven's name on, I think, some credits for this. And he did Seth and Stanley and Me. Marvin, Seth and Stanley and Me. Okay, yeah. And what did Alex work on this film? Is he in this film?
Alex is in this film. He has a bit of a smaller role than he did in Marvin, Seth and Stanley. We always loved working with him, and he was really excited about the project, but I was a little bit hesitant just because it's a very specific film to Montana, and I didn't know if he was going to fit in as well as, you know, casting all local people. So I wanted to find the right part for him, but we met this Russian woman, and Alex just happens to speak a bit of Russian himself, so we decided it would be the perfect match, and he came out and played her son in the film.
Now, you guys have worked with Alex before, and I know that you've also worked with Steven on some other projects before, and it seems like it's a small circle of collaborators and friends. How would you describe that in terms of creative energy and what you think works that creatively you each bring to each other's projects?
I think it works really well, especially in the way that we attempt to make films. For instance, we were shooting at the races in my hometown, and nothing's really planned out there. So we would go with what we wanted to capture. We wanted to have the actor driving a race car, but beyond that, there was a lot of different things that could happen. So it's really nice. Steven recorded sound on the film, and we just have a good working relationship where all three of us happen to be in the same place at the same time, pointing the camera and the sound gear and my direction skills all at the same thing. So I think that's really important. And we've all worked on a lot of projects together, so we sort of, you know, can communicate without communicating, I guess. Yeah, it's been nice to work with Alex. We've worked on some of his films as well, and that's, I think he appreciates the way that we go about trying to make films.
And then as a first-time filmmaker, a first-time director, is there any advice that you would give to someone in your shoes that's just starting to take on a project similar to yours but their own story? And how would you coach them to and encourage them to get that project going and see it out to completion?
I think it's good to surround yourself with people that are supportive of the way that you create things, because I know this film, for instance, isn't for everyone. Some people might have a hard time getting into it because it's a little bit, different than your normal narrative film. But I had a lot of supportive people. I also have a lot of friends in New York that are really excited by new things. So when I was down and out editing and thinking that it might never come together and turn into something, it was nice to have someone to show it to and, you know, to have them back you up and say, like, no, this is great. You gotta keep going. So I think that's probably the most important thing to me. It's a lot easier when you have people on your side, I think.
One thing I I guess, discussed with other filmmakers, documentary or narrative alike, is this whole idea that, you know, when you have a film that's going to premiere somewhere and you have some amount of success with it, that it still is hard work, and you still get told no an awful lot. I mean, I know you're going to Rotterdam after this, which is amazing. Congratulations. But, you know, you might have some other festivals kind of on your short list, and you might get told no. I mean, it happens all the time. How do you get past no? How do you deal with that?
I kind of went into it with a different outlook than a lot of people have. I think I just thought that the film was really important to have for myself, and also all of the people that I met along the way were so excited about being a part of it that I really just wanted to finish it for them more so. So I never really expected it to get accepted nor denied. I didn't really have that as an end goal. So everything that it's done so far has been really great and really exciting. And I don't think I've been discouraged by anything. It has been nice to have this as an end date so that there's a final, you know, a push to get it finished and have it all be done.
Yeah, there's nothing like a deadline. Get your butt in gear. All right, so, we're super excited to see your film tomorrow. And, of course, we would love to piggyback with you over to Rotterdam and see it there with a big audience. The stupid question, the basic question is what's next after this? Do you have other festivals already lined up that you can announce, or are you still working on stuff?
It's going to play at the San Francisco Indie Fest following Rotterdam, and then there's a couple of other ones that I don't think have been announced yet, so there's things coming up. I'm still talking to a lot of people. I'm just finally transitioning from editing full-time and working on all of that to trying to deal with more of this festival stuff. And
what about your post-production process? Now, you said you were editing. Did you also do your own color and sound mix, or who did you have help you with that process, and how did that go?
The color and sound was really great. It was I didn't know we were going to be playing at these festivals, so it was a really last-minute rush to get everything done. But Dave Sweet, who's a colorist at Pixel Farm in Minneapolis, did the color for us. And we've worked with him before. We worked with him on Marvin, Seth, and Stanley, and he did a really incredible job. But we had to do it all remotely, so it's, you know, he did it, and then we'd look at stills and whatnot. And then Kelly Piclo, who is a Minneapolis sound person, did an incredible job on the sound, and I'm so happy with how it turned out. We've always looked for sound people to work with that we would go back to, and he definitely is one of them. He was really open to experimenting and kind of open to this weird world that I wanted to create with these like weird alien sounds or like, you know, weird music tracks and whatnot. And then I also had a composer in New York City, whose name is Paul Grimstad, write original music for the film as well. And I think, you know, we had temped in a bunch of score type of things as we were editing. But I think that really tied everything together really well.
Cool. Is there anyone else you would like to give a shout out to in the local scene? Did you have someone do like graphics and titles, or who designed your poster?
I did. no, I did all the design and stuff. My boyfriend, Steven, did the final credit sequence. Adam and I spent a bit of time editing together. He helped out at times, and he's kind of always around. So he's, my secondhand guy. He's good to have around. We cast a lot of local people. Paul Dickinson, who's a poet from St. Paul, and is one of the coolest people I've ever met, is in the film. Liz Randall, the lead actress, is a Minneapolis local as well. My friend Hillary, who's a wonderful photographer, Hillary Berg, you should check out her photography because it's really lovely. She played a great part in the film as well, and she took a lot of photos while we were out in Montana that don't really have anything to do with the film, but they're all very beautiful as well.
All right, and for those who want to follow you on this journey, how do we track you down on social media and all that, and what's your website?
You can just search for Tired Moonlight on Google and it comes up pretty easily, but it's Facebook/Tired Moonlight or something. And I don't know, just search for Tired Moonlight. It'll come up for you.
All right. Any last thoughts or have you already moved on to a new project that you want to share about? Or I don't know. Do you have any expectations for how it's going to go tomorrow?
No, I mean, I hope people like it. I'm really proud of how it's turned out. I think that it's turned out just the way I had wanted it to. So at very least I have that. Yeah, I don't know. It should be good. I don't know if I have any. I have other projects in mind, but nothing in the works. I've just been so swamped with finishing this one. So I'm glad to be able to start working on something new.
And I just want to say thanks for joining us on the podcast and being a part of our crew at the condo here for the last 24 hours. And good luck tomorrow. And I'm sure we'll see you around the Midwest in the coming months.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show. This is Film 45 live from Sundance with Brittany West. Check out Tired Moonlight. All right, thanks to Brittany and Rick and getting this in the can, this first live podcast from Sundance. This is episode 2 of the Film 45 program, and you know we're figuring this out as we go. So you'll have to excuse some of the mic handling noise and some of the ums as we get our rhythm with this and figure things out. But we just wanted to add that Brittany's film is playing Rotterdam Film Festival, and starting next week, Monday, the 26th of January, 27th of January, 28th of January, the 30th of January, and the 31st of January, she's got 5 screenings in Rotterdam. If you're over there for some reason, oh my God, just go check it out, all right? Give some love to our local filmmakers.
Yeah, and for all my Dutch people out there, you moet deze film gaan zien, okay?
All right, and that's going to wrap up this second episode of Film 45. We love the feedback we've gotten so far. Keep it coming. Let us know what you think we are missing, what we need, what we can do to make this even more better awesome. Okay, thanks, guys. Bye. Thank you.